Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Becoming Mom and Dad podcast. This is episode 18, and we'll be going over weeks 30 and 31. We missed you last week. Kaylee was just having a bad time. We'll get into that in a little
bit later.
A really
bad time. And I also had my baby shower last Sunday, so we were busy.
Yeah, we had stuff going on, but if you want to take it away.
So we are, for our 30-week update, the baby was about the size of a cabbage, about 3.4 pounds, and about 16 inches long. That's pretty long. I didn't realize she was that long already. So that's T. She can now learn to focus her eyes and suck her thumb, which we got very much evidence of at our 3D ultrasound when she was sucking on her arm the entire time and doing all of that. She then at the 31-week mark was about the size of, I think it was, what did we say it was? Let me see. Of course, it's not, you know, wanting to pull up for me now. Because why would it? The size of a zucchini. And she's about 3.9 pounds and 16 and a half inches now. So I guess she's growing about half inch every week, which is alarming. But she can now recognize voices. And apparently she's starting to look more like an actual baby. Kind of like proportions filling out and all of that. So that's exciting. But that's all as far as pregnancy develop has gone. Baby development and all of that has gone.
I wanted to mention real quick, we have two guests today on our podcast. We have Courtney, who's made an appearance before after the first baby shower. And then we have our friend Parker here with us, who is a father of two children. So we'll talk to him in a little bit about
our first daddy guest
on the first daddy guest. We'll talk to him about how that is
literally. As far as me feeling, we should kind of backtrack a little bit. So the things we've kind of missed at the first week, on week number 30, is I had my 30-week doctor's appointment, which it was so annoyingly ironic. I was filming a little vlog on the way there being like, oh, we're just here for a routine checkup, it shouldn't be anything crazy, nothing exciting really going on, whatever. I get there and it was the most exciting thing I've ever done at the doctor. It was crazy. I did my little urine sample when I got there and I'm in the room and I'm chilling. And I actually, at this appointment, was with a different doctor because I was trying to meet the other two nurse midwives, because we've talked about before how we don't know who's going to deliver me. So I wanted to meet the other two. So I had my appointment with a new doctor and I was waiting on her to come in, and it was pretty chill. And they come in, they're like, oh, we want to give you the Tdap vaccine. Like, are you cool with that? And I'm like, what is that? Tell me what that is. And they told me it's basically like the tetanus shot and like to protect Gemma from the, whooping cough or whatever it is. So they gave me that. And I was like, not prepared for that. I don't do all those needles. And even the lady that was giving me my shot has a bunch of tattoos. And she was like, you know, it's surprising that you told me you have a needle thing with tattoos, but she was like, honestly, as someone who has done both, it's not the same. Getting stabbed with a vaccine is way more painful. But I got that vaccine and it was fine. And then they came in the room and I was just like, okay, well, you know, what's going on? And they were like, oh, so can you go ahead and get undressed? And we're going to do a little swab of you. And I was like, okay. So like, they didn't tell me at all that I was going to be swabbed for anything. And I was really confused. The girl didn't say much and she walked out. So then of course I'm texting my mom, Skylar, and Courtney at the same time. Like, they said they're going to swab me. I don't know what's going on. Like, why is this happening? And then finally the doctor came in and I was like, okay, so like, what's going on? Can you tell me like why we're doing this? Like, is this like normal or like is something wrong? And she was like, well, we noticed like some clue cells in your urine. And I was like, what does that mean? And she's like, you have some sort of infection. We don't know what it is, but we're going to test you and find out. So they did what they call a wet prep, and they put the little speculum and swabbed and all that. And then they left, and I was like kind of sitting there and I was anxious and I was just freaking out. And then at one point I was spiraling in my head, like, what if I have an STD? I'm like, how would I have an STD? I literally have not done anything like at all. So I was like, whatever, let's just see. So she comes back in and they tell me I have BV and a yeast infection at the same time. And so I'm just like, all right, cool. Never had that. What does that mean? I immediately like, and if you're a woman who's never had one, like, or if you have had one, you might understand, but I was like, instantly I felt gross. I was like, what did I do to cause this? Like, why is this happening? Like, what am I doing wrong to have caused this infection? Because I haven't changed anything. She was like, have you changed any soaps? Have you changed detergent? Have you not been washing yourself like normal? I'm like, no, I literally do the same thing I've been doing my whole life. And so they were like, well, it is really common just to like see these in pregnancy. She's like, about 1 million pregnant women a year get BV, and about 30% of pregnant women in general get yeast infections. And I was like, okay. So in my head for a while, I was still spiraling about that afterwards, but I was like, you know, it's normal, whatever. So I finally come to terms with that. So basically they just gave me some like medicine I have to insert every night for 8 days in a row, and then it'll be over. So I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. I go home, I'm dealing with that, whatever. Then a few days later, I also have HS, which I haven't talked about on here before, but it's hidradenitis suppurativa, and it is a skin condition where your sweat glands tend to clog in areas where your skin rubs together. And so I have had flare-ups of this before, and basically it creates little like small hard bumps under your skin that eventually go away on their own. And usually if I take a hot bath or like I just put tea tree oil on them, it'll speed up the process and they'll go away. They're pretty harmless, pretty painless, but it is a chronic condition that you can't get rid of. The only thing you can really do is get one of those scary like corticosteroid shots they advertise on TV for a bunch of different sicknesses, and they just like, that's it. But no, most people who have what I have don't recommend getting the shot because of all the crazy side effects. So I just manage it with home remedies and whatever. But every once in a while, what happens is one of those little bumps under your skin will rupture, and it will put the infection into your body, make your skin very sensitive. It can be really, really painful depending on where the spots are. And this happened to me 2 years ago, right before my wedding, actually, and I had to get on some medication for it, and it eventually went down. But this one, we were trying all the home remedies. And not to mention on top of that, my pregnancy is, you know, pretty progressed at this point. So I have a huge belly that I can't reach anything down there. So poor Skylar's on his knees every night trying to medicate my, you know, thing that I have going on. And I'm just like, okay, this is awkward and embarrassing and not fun. So anyways, we treat it and it's not working. And it's just becoming to the point where it's in a spot where I can't really walk without it constantly rubbing and having friction. Cause it's kind of like right on my thigh, where your thigh meets your ass, basically. But anyway, so I am in pain. And at one point I have to leave work because I'm in so much pain, and I'm like crying for hours at night. I almost have Skylar take me to the hospital, and I'm like, this is just the worst thing I've ever dealt
and
with.
And the problem we had too is that like one of the main things in the past she's used to treat this is a bath. And because of her infections, she wasn't allowed supposed to get in a bath. So yeah, we basically couldn't do what she normally does to get rid of them quickly.
And basically, long story short, without going into a bunch of detail, the only relief you get from these is to drain them, or to like, if they pop on their own and like the stuff comes out. And so the last one time I had one, I was sitting in the car for several hours and it released on its own. And this one was not doing that. And it was, I had to have a bandage over it just to even walk because of the friction from my own skin. And so I finally, like on Monday of, I guess it was this week, this past Monday, I was like, I have to do something, whatever. Skylar found this number for like a mobile, like a little tiny clinic downtown. And so I called them and they were like, we can get you in 30 minutes. And I was like, cool. So my mom came and she drove me, which thank God she did, because I was going to go alone because I didn't think it'd be that serious. I thought maybe they might give me some kind of like gel or numbing lotion to put on it or whatever. I get there and she's like, oh yeah, like you had a ruptured, you know, thing. And they were like, we're going to drain it. And I was like, oh God, okay. So I'm like freaking out. And so I'm, because like even just like the slight brush of a fingertip of Skylar applying like lotion or whatever on it was so painful. I was like, how are they going to drain this thing without it being the most excruciating pain ever? So I'm like, can you numb it? Can you do whatever? And she's like, well, we can try to numb it. And she gave me a numbing shot and she put numbing cream on it. But the problem is that the infection prevents any numbing agent from working, essentially. So they could numb my skin, but they couldn't numb any of the nerves inside the body. So she has to cut it open and do that. And I am quite literally the most worst pain I've ever dealt with in my whole life. I was dissociating, like my brain was like removing me from my own body to like try to block out the pain, because it was so, and then I was freaking out because I wasn't really breathing. I was like hyperventilating. I was flushed, like I was pale, I was cold, I was hot, I was sweating. And I'm like gripping onto this like bed I'm laying on while they're trying to like get it all out. My mom's there. She's trying to like comfort me. But like I said, it was definitely an out of body experience. Like it was just so strange because like I've never been in that much pain before. And your brain really does like just remove you from the situation. It was very strange. But like obviously you can still feel the pain. You're just like kind of out of it. And so I literally was lightheaded when I got home. I had to lay down. I was pale. I was like very stressed. And then it was the only relief I had, though. I finally got relief. I was a little sore for like a couple hours afterwards. The next morning, I woke up. The bump itself was pretty much gone for the most part. I wore a bandage. And then now, like however many days later, I want to say even 2 days later, I felt no pain at all. It kind of just scarred over and it's chill now. But that week of just like finding out I had the infections and then that on top of it, and the both of the treatments for them were like contradictory. I couldn't treat one or the other without messing up the other one. And it was just a lot. I was in so much pain. And I told Skylar after it was all over, like those were probably the four hardest days of my life so far, mentally and physically. Like it was rough. I wasn't playing video games. I wasn't online with my friends. Like I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, so it was probably the worst week we've had during the pregnancy so far. Because I mean, she was miserable. It was like she couldn't sit comfortably in any way. She couldn't really do anything anyway. I think like the Sunday before, like the next day, she went to get the to get it drained. Like she was just like laying on the bed in the room and just like beside herself because like nothing was comfortable. And I was trying to like, we were trying like hot compresses, we were trying ice, we were trying like everything possible. Like we had like drawing salve and different bandages and nothing. It was just like, after like 3 or 4 days, we'd been going through it and like nothing had helped her
at all. And I feel bad because Skylar's still working two jobs and now he's coming home to his third time job, which was taking care of me and like doing literally everything because I couldn't do anything at all. So it was just rough. But now it's been just about a week since we did that and it's been much better. We went into week 31 and, oh, I guess I should talk about this. Backtrack a little bit. The day before I got it drained was when I was traveling for my baby shower. So my baby shower was 3 hours away from here. It was in Nashville. My sister hosted it so that way we could invite friends from Chattanooga to come celebrate me because all my friends live pretty far away. And so that was super exciting to see everyone. I have a friend who is also pretty much right around the same pregnancy mark as I am. I think she's a couple weeks ahead of me. Her due date is November 19th. And so she is pregnant with a boy, and so we got to like talk about that, and she's the first person I've been around that's like also pregnant, so it was kind of fun. I got a lot of great gifts from the baby shower. My friends did a really good job and it was all really well put together and everybody was so thoughtful. They actually had these boxes of birthday cards they picked out for Gemma from ages like 1 to 21 and everybody picked one and filled it out, so now we have like 21 birthday cards for her to open for everybody throughout her life, so that was pretty cool. But the baby shower was really fun and we pretty much got like everything we needed for the baby shower, or for the nursery, I mean, but we got everything we needed. The last couple things off our registry we didn't get. I was able to snag a few days later because they're the prime deals day or whatever happened. So I got like a lot of stuff and I think I saved like $400 on like just the rest of the stuff we didn't have that we still needed. So I ordered all of that and that's been coming in this week and the nursery looks really good. We got her mirror finally, we have a bookshelf on the way and just some last minute stuff.
Yeah, the nursery's pretty much completely decked out at this point. Yeah. Like it's like 98% done.
We're waiting on our diaper pail to get here. Gotta hang the mirror up, but other than that, we pretty much have everything. I finally bought an exercise ball that we have to inflate at some point so I can do some like pre-labor exercises and all that. But it was it's been really good. I've been up with my iron supplements and so my energy's back up. And so we've been able to do a lot of stuff in there and get a lot of stuff done. And now we're feeling more prepared for Gemma to be here, which is crazy.
We have our guests in town with us today because we had an event up where we live yesterday. They do it every year and we've always gone. It's called Martoberfest and it's just a thing our town holds and they have all types of beers that you can taste and try for hours in the afternoon. It went for hours. And we go every year, which this year was kind of sucked for Kaylee because obviously she couldn't try any of the beers, but we had Courtney and Parker came into town to go with us.
The FOMO was so real, dude. I'm such a craft beer person and I love beer and I love this every year. So I was just like, They had two non-alcoholic beers for me to try, and I just kept bouncing back and forth. But the FOMO was real. I really wanted to participate, so.
But Kaylee was our designated driver, so that was good. And
mandatory DD.
Yeah, and me and Parker may have gone too hard in the paint last night because I had a very awful night when I got back home, but a very fun night before that.
Oh yeah, definitely. How was Marktoberfest?
It was so fun. This is my second year coming into town for it. I was looking forward to it since last year. And I guess I can handle myself better because I was just fine.
Courtney and I stayed up on Grand Theft Auto last night doing some horse betting. It was a really good time.
To be fair, Courtney tapped out like two or three beers before me and Parker.
First of all, it's two or three taster beers. You're not even getting...
Probably full beer with the amount that we still did.
Just me? Okay, so yeah. One full beer either way. Not too crazy.
And then I had the bright idea to walk to like one of the bars that was like right down the street right after we got done.
I said, we're not going
to
drink here. And then Skylar threw a fit and poured everybody the beer anyway.
Yeah, so. That's also the tea. I had a full bottle of beer at the bar, and then I finished most of Parker's beer, too, so I think I caught right back up. Thank you.
Okay, well.
But anyway, we had a really fun time. I'd like to accept my Bestie of the Year award I went and, like, hounded the people at the tents for a full can of the non-alcoholic beer for Kaylee because it was, like, senseless for her to be...
Getting these 2 ounce tasters of it every 5 seconds?
And, like, it's not like the non-alcoholic one was going to be flying off the shelf, you know? Like, if you're coming to an Oktoberfest, you're really not here for the
non-alcoholic beer. Anyway. Well, the cool thing is like, these tickets that that town does, it's only $50, and you get a bunch of stuff. You get, like, all these, like, glasses and swag and all kinds of stuff, cute little koozies, taster glasses. We still have our glasses from the last 3 years, so it's really fun. We won a cooler, so that was pretty cool, like a big, nice cooler. And then I just, you know, I like to go because the vibes are fun. But it was really fun doing that for 3 times in a row. And it was cool because a lot of the bartenders there, I've started to recognize Skylar and I especially, but even Courtney this year, they remember her too. And one of them was talking about how she remembered us because, you know, she was pregnant last time we were there. And she was like, oh, now you're pregnant. And I was like, yeah. And I was like talking to her about that. And then I got super in my feelings because I was like, oh, my God, this time next year, Gemma will be here and they'll remember her when I was pregnant with her. And I was like, that's so fun. So because people do bring their babies. It's not like some crazy, chaotic, like bar scene. It's like very like. It's like older, it's an older crowd.
It's outside.
Like it's outside in the courtyard and they play live music and stuff. So like people bring their babies. I think last year we saw like 6 babies or something that were there.
Yeah.
This year we only saw one. But
the only thing I was concerned going into it was I was like worried that when Kaylee was having her non-alcoholic taster beers that people were going to think she was like just pregnant actually drinking, which like it really, literally. I don't think,
we
I
got,
really.
We got a couple side eyes.
There was like a couple people who looked, but then we also had people coming up being like, oh, you can have a few beers. It won't hurt anything.
I'm like, okay, I can, but I'm not gonna. I have not had, okay, full transparency. I have not had anything to drink. I have not been vaping. I have not been doing any of that stuff since I got pregnant. The only thing that I have done since I found out was one day my mom and Skylar had mimosas at work, and I was really jealous, and so I had a sip of Skylar's. And then I think last night, I just told Skylar, I'm like, if there's any really, really good beer, just let me dip my tongue in it a little bit. So there was like 2 or 3 where I like smelled it and like stuck my little tongue in there. And I'm like, man, that's good. But like, I have not drank this whole time. And I was not going to be in a public place just like having a beer, even though I probably technically could get away with it. It's just like, I don't want to risk it for one. I don't want to be in the public eye just like drinking with a very pregnant belly. Like, I was also wearing a crop top, so the belly was just full out. So I'm like, I'm not finna just walk around in public drinking a very obvious beer. Like, that's just a
okay,
lot.
You can cut this part out, but weren't you pregnant on Easter?
No, we don't have to cut that out. I was pregnant on Easter. I was pregnant on Easter, and this was before I found out, so...
like 2 days before she found out.
So this is crazy. So I don't know. We've kind of talked about it before, but if you're tuning in for the first time or don't know this... or want to be familiarized, when you are trying for a baby, your actual first week of, quote, pregnancy is during your period, and then you have, like, your week where you aren't fertile yet. That's also technically your second week. And then when you actually do the thing and conceive, that's, like, week 3, and then the week after is week 4. So typically it takes till week 4 before you can find out that you're pregnant. So I was technically on my 4th week of pregnancy during Easter, but... it was only 2 weeks since fertilization day. So we had no way of knowing we were pregnant yet. And so it was Easter Sunday. We were like, you know, this is only the first month we had tried. Like, I'm probably not pregnant. It's whatever. Because, like, my parents had mentioned, my parents didn't know we were trying for a baby at this point. Neither did my sister. Nobody did. So we were like, all right, let's just go and we'll see what happens. So we get there and my parents have planned this entire drunken Easter egg hunt. And I mean, they hid eggs all over their yard. And when you got to an egg, if it had like a mark on it, you had to stop, open it, read the thing. And it was like, shotgun a Truly, take a fireball shot, drink this beer, whatever. And so we are doing that. And I get this card and it's like drink a Truly. So I get on one knee, you know, I chug the Truly. I take a fireball shot later. I have another Truly later. And then we're just, I mean, like I said, me and Skylar are like, okay, like, so many people drink all the time and don't know if they're pregnant yet. Like, we're probably not pregnant, but if I am, it'll be fine, whatever. Literally, like, 3 days later, I take a pregnancy test, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, I just was pregnant during that. So that is the only time that I was really ever actually drunk while pregnant. But like I said, I think that's, like, common for most people who drink, like, every, even on occasion, like, socially drink. Like, there are times when you don't know you're pregnant and stuff happens, but...
And you weren't even really, like, drunk anyway. Like, no, I had more than the average pregnant person would have.
Yeah, definitely.
You were fine.
Definitely. And I was, like, you know, worried about it. And I was on Reddit. And people were like, I was at the bar. I was on vacation when I was pregnant. Was drunk every night. And I was fine. I was like, and, you know, there's people. The way I look at it is there are people that willingly consume several alcoholic beverages a day while they're pregnant. And, you know, their babies somehow end up okay sometimes. So... I was like, I'm sure the one little night I had of a few beers was not going to hurt anything. But no, since then, I just like, you know, the guy last night was like, oh, you can have a beer. I'm like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. Yeah. So I was like, that's not really the type of pregnancy I'm going for. Like, am I cutting out caffeine and eating no junk food? No. Did I go to McDonald's 2 days ago and get fries and a frozen Coke? Yep. And it is what it is. So.
But we had a really good time. And, you know, aside from a couple of people kind of side-eyeing her, it was still, you know, really fine for her to be there. And, like, I don't want to speak for you, but the fact that they had a couple of non-alcoholic beers still let her be involved and have a total FOMO experience.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. Like, the girl who puts on the event, I'm, like, pretty chill friends with her. And so she was, you know, making sure that we had a good time. And it was super fun. And she did a really great job with the event. And it was really cool.
And then I mentioned we have our friend Parker here. He came all the way from Canada to go to Martoberfest with us. And I'll let him introduce himself and tell us how he enjoyed it.
It was pretty fun. I did come down from Toronto almost specifically for this, so that was kind of nice. It was a good time. I've been to many beer festivals in my many years. But that
to
was...
Be, just throw it out there, he's older than us. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Thanks, but yeah.
I mean, not kidding.
In his many years, this was the most fun one.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I definitely had a good time. They made sure to parade me around as a Canadian and make sure that everybody was fully aware that I was not from the South.
And we got a prize for it.
Oh yes, I almost forgot about that. Yeah, I did get a prize for being the furthest traveled to come to Martoberfest. I got a cooler, which is now no longer in my possession. But Courtney can keep it.
Hey, okay. I didn't steal it, he said.
I also just noticed we're all wearing our Martoberfest shirts right now. That's so crazy. And all y'all have the same one, and then I have a different one. I like this one, too. It's cute.
Yeah, it's really cute.
But, it was super fun. And then this morning, so Courtney has been trying to feel the baby, like, basically since I've been pregnant. And the only person who has successfully felt the baby kick, I think, at this point is... Skylar, my mom, and then my niece felt her kick very briefly at my gender reveal. But Courtney has been poking her, prodding her, yelling at her, trying to get her to make any sort of movement for her for the last several months. And so do you want to talk about what happened this morning?
Yeah, okay. I just want to clear my name for a moment. I'm not trying to assault my niece. I just simply want to know she exists, and I want her to know my voice. Kaylee's been talking about... You know, in these updates, I've been getting them a little bit at the same time as y'all. And there was one week where she was, like, developing her ears and she was going to start recognizing voices soon and all that. So I wanted to make sure that she knew me so that, you know, she would feel comfortable when she gets out here and has to spend a lot of time with me. So anyway, we were, like, poking at her this morning when Kaylee first woke up, because Kaylee talks about a lot how... when she just wakes up or is about to go to bed, that Gemma's really active. So I came in there this morning because Kaylee texted me from outside the room. Was like, she's going crazy in here. So I came in the bedroom, and of course, right then she stopped. We started thinking about the fact that she was starting to really develop her hearing and like reacting to music in the last couple weeks, or maybe this week. Mm-hmm. And so Kaylee put on a couple of songs on her phone and like held it really close to where Gemma's head is. And apparently she's a Swiftie because she started going absolutely crazy at some of the songs. She also loves Post Malone, so she's a great mix of
I don't think she's a big country fan. No, she did not like the country songs.
That was unfortunate, but that's okay. So yeah, I got to feel her for the first time this morning. It was really cool to feel her and like be able to poke at her and kind of know like where her back is or her head or her feet. But when she was reacting to the music, it was really cool to watch like how much that she was like visible from outside of Kaylee's stomach.
Yeah, like, you can see my stomach literally moving. Like,
and it was really cool. So I was really excited to be able to feel her and see her this morning. Like, obviously, you know, being the best friend of somebody is pregnant. Like, I've been very involved just in terms of like Kaylee updates me, and I'm interested in what's going on with her and excited to meet her baby, but in terms of like really being involved, you know, there's not much that a best friend can do because I'm not the mom or the dad.
I also just feel like it makes it more real. Like, exactly. There are still times where like I'm either holding a baby outfit or like doing something and I'm like, oh my God, this is like a real baby. Like, it's not just like a pretend baby.
So like really being able to feel her and Kaylee saying like, oh, that's her back, that's her head. Like, I was able to like kind of really visualize where she is and feel her. And that was like really special to me. But also, like, just cool to see. I looked over at her. I was like, there's literally a human. Like, right now. I'm like, literally touching a person. That's wild.
I know. There were a couple times where, like, she kicked and I was like, ugh. Like, she knows how to kick in areas where I'm just like, it's a little bit nauseating depending on how hard she kicks and stuff. I had Skylar come in there and I was like, get eye level with my stomach. And they're like, we started one of the songs and it's just like a whole, like, wave in my stomach of, like, her moving. It's so crazy. How does it make you feel when you see my stomach moving like that and stuff?
It's creepy.
It was kind of. I've been like, oh, Skylar's being dramatic all this time, but low key, it was kind of weird.
Yeah, it's kind of. I'm like.
Does it make you feel like excited at all though, or like, oh, there's like my daughter's in there, like.
I mean, kind of, but I just know like, especially like later, like when we're getting like really late in the pregnancy, and you're really gonna see like strong movements. It's gonna be.
Her whole foot, like, coming across.
Yeah,
her
it just looks like an alien. Yeah.
I had a dream the other night that her foot came through my skin.
Oh.
Like, when she kicked me, I was like, oh, that's the worst thing I ever thought of in my life.
That is so gross.
My dreams have been, like, kind of kicking back up again. Like, I had really vivid dreams in the first trimester, and then they kind of went away. And now, like, every night I wake up dreaming, and I'm like, can I stop dreaming about whatever this is? Because it's always so weird. I was telling one of my coworkers the other day, I'm like, oh, yeah, I just dreamed about your husband all night the other night because he also works for us. And I see him all the time, and I was just like, you can't control what you dream of a lot of the time, unless you're just like, a lucid dreamer or something. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I was like, some of these dreams are just so crazy weird, and I don't know if that has anything to do with like being at the end or whatever, but I was just like, oh my God, this is so crazy.
But, so we have Parker, and Parker is a father of two children's.
You want to talk about their ages and all that?
How old are your children?
So my daughter just turned 11 in September. And my son turned 8 in this past June, so.
And since he's our first guest who is an experienced parent, we're going to prod him for some questions. So, jump into it. What would you say the first few months after having both your kids, like if you could explain what that is
the
like?
The differences between the two and like.
For sure, yeah. So, I had very jarring experiences with my two children, my first being my daughter, obviously. She had colic for the first 6 months of her life, which, in case anybody doesn't know, basically means they cry constantly for no reason at all times, and it cannot be soothed. So that was definitely a very trying experience. It definitely had me and my partner on edge the entire time, so that was a little difficult. And then there was my son, who, if we would have had him first, would have completely ruined us because he was an angel child, made no noise, slept constantly, never fussed about anything, and I don't think I heard him cry for the first 3 to 4 months of his life. So,
that's so crazy.
Yeah. It was a completely different experience.
I babysat a colicky baby one time, and even just for the one night, it was miserable. My heart goes out to people who have mm-hmm. babies like that, because I feel like, you know, even like me, I catch myself thinking like, oh, like when she gets here, I'm going to do this. But like a lot of it really depends on the temperament of your baby. And like if they are colicky or if they're not, like some people have really easy babies and can train mm-hmm. them, sleep train them really easily, and some don't. So
yeah, my daughter did not allow for that. It was a constant battle to get her to fall asleep, let alone stay asleep. So that was, and then again, my son is basically like myself. He can just turn it off and he was asleep for hours. You had to wake him up to feed him.
Do you have any tips for the first few months?
Yeah. So, I mean, the biggest thing that I can say is being mindful just for the mood and mentality of your child, right? Like, just pay attention to how they're reacting to what you're doing to find out, because you don't know, they're a person too, right? You gotta, even though they're just a baby, you still find out what they like and what they don't like, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you think may be soothing to them doesn't work for them. Like, you know, my daughter enjoyed the chaos of sitting out on the balcony of our condo and listening to the traffic at 2 o'clock in the morning to get her to fall asleep. And then there was my son, who if you dropped a needle in his room, he would hear it, right? So there's, you know, there's different ways to take care of them in that regard. And then the other best advice I can give is it's not just about the baby, like it's about you guys too, right? Like, you know, take the cues on, you know, when Kaylee's agitated and can't take anymore, you know, just take Gemma for a little bit. Even if it's just go for a walk, just get out of the house and give her some time. But it goes both ways too, right? Like, you know, like you could have had a day and, you know, Skylar just, you know, can't deal with Gemma in that very moment. It's gonna happen. Don't, you know, invalidate the your partner's feelings on how they feel they can help the child right now, because you don't know what their mood is like, right? And I mean, and that's okay. Like, you know, like take the opportunity to take breaks. Take naps whenever you can. When that child goes to sleep, I don't care how dirty your dishes are, lay down, take a nap. Like, you know, just mm-hmm. get away for a bit, right? Because you can't just run yourself ragged. It doesn't do any good for you or Gemma.
I feel like a good analogy I've heard people talk about is like, you know, when you're in a partnership, especially when you're first-time parents, like, you know, you're at some point, in some combination of percentages, you have to be at 100% for your baby.
Mm-hmm.
And most days you try to make it 50-50. Like Skylar takes on 50% of the load and yep. I take 50%. But I think part of co-parenting and trying to learn everything new is like, if I can only give 20, there might be a day Skylar has to give yep. 80. And Skylar can only give 30 and I have to give 70 or whatever. You have to like be able to communicate and work together to like, because at the end of the day, your child's needs have to be met. And if there are days where you're experiencing burnout, you need to tell
yep.
your partner and
vocalize it.
A lot of things people have told me too is like, if people offer you help, like
take
help. Because a lot of people, someone who just had a baby even recently told me like, you know, I didn't like taking help from people. I felt like it made me a failure as a mom. But she was like, I just wish I would have taken the help when people offered.
Yeah. Because you're never going to be able to do that. Like, I mean, not only like taking help in the sense where you, like they completely take the baby from you, but even just like if your mom shows up and she's like, I'll sit with Gemma for a little bit, like when she's asleep, so you can go take a bath or you can take a shower and you don't have to like, you know, be on edge or have the door open or, you mm-hmm. know, poking your head out every 3 seconds to make sure, you know, Gemma's okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need to take that time for yourself. It's incredibly important. And I wish I would have learned that a little bit faster with my daughter. It was one of those things that came more natural with my son, because, you know, at that point, my son was born, she was only about 2.5, almost 3. And it's hard when you have the 2 kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, all of a sudden, you know, one of us has to be doing bedtime for my daughter when, like, you know, we're getting my son ready for bed. So there'd be like nights where we would alternate where she would take my daughter, put my daughter to bed, I would take my son, or vice versa, right? Or there'd be some times where I had to take both of them and put both in the bed because she just couldn't do it, or same thing, like, you know, I had to work or something like that. And then there were times where we're just like, we can't, you know, like Charlotte was giving us a hard time because as she grew up, she evolved into night terrors as well too, right? So it was hard. So my mother-in-law was a huge help with that. And it was actually really nice to be able to just reach out and be like, please help.
Yeah, definitely. Do you have any like tips for keeping your sanity? Like, just while you're dealing with the newborn trenches?
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest things is don't let it get in your head too much about, you know, you're never going to always be able to calm the baby down. Don't get upset about that. It's just, it's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you, babies cry. That's literally what they're made for, right? Just because they're crying doesn't mean that something is incredibly wrong. They could just be being fussy, right? So mm-hmm. you've got to keep your own headspace clear. You got to try and make things fun. You know, change diapers. Like when you're changing diapers, don't get upset because they had a huge blowout or something like that, because it's going to happen multiple times a week. So just take it in stride, right? It literally, it happens. It's not something that you can control, and it's not something that you should be getting upset about. You know, try and make it everything fun. Like, you know, from when it comes to like, even like doing the bottle and stuff like that. I had a really big thing about getting my kids into routines to make things easier, right? One of those was singing to my kids so that they would realize that, you know, they would make the connection that when they were getting like their bottle or whatever, or when I was trying to put them down for a nap, as soon as I started singing, they would realize, go to sleep. But it helped me too, because it took my mind off of the fact that sometimes you literally have to sit there with them for like an hour to get them to fall asleep. And you want to be anywhere but sitting in that room, and you don't, because they can feel your vibes too, right? Like if you start getting cranky or something like that, they're gonna notice, right? So just try and stay as mellow as you can and realize that, you know, they have needs that they can't communicate, and you just got to figure them out.
And I feel like too, like something people need to remember is like, there are going to be times where you do get to the point where you're like, I'm going to snap, I'm going to lose my mind. And I feel like the best piece of advice I've been told is like, if you're alone with your baby and they're fed, they have clothes on, they're in a safe environment in a crib, if you have to walk away, close the door, walk outside, let them cry for a minute and clear your head. That's... because another thing is keeping your baby safe and all of that. And I don't know if you and I have talked about this, but did you have any, like with your partner, was there any sort of like postpartum depression or anxiety that came through, and how did you deal with that, or if it did? Or
yeah, so the postpartum wasn't very apparent with my daughter because we didn't know what we were looking for, because everything is new, right? Like you just, you don't know. It's like the hardest thing that you never knew that you signed up for is having a kid, right? You're like, oh, it can't be that bad. And then Gemma's going to show up and you'll be like, oh, okay. So the postpartum really shined through with my son. And that was very difficult, because I think that even though she had no reason to be, she got too overwhelmed with the fact that there were two kids now, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, at that point I was working from home, so I did have the benefit of that. So I was able to alleviate a lot of the tension with my son, but then you've still got a 2.5, 3-year-old, and it was not mentally good for her. So the best advice I can give is, if you do start noticing that, like you mentioned, like you're getting agitated, or you do have to walk away, or you find yourself getting mad or yelling for like nothing,
or even just sad,
like it's sad manipulates in different ways. It's not always a crying sad, like, you know, sadness can also be anger as well too, right? Like, talk to somebody, get it figured out, get ahead of it, basically, right?
I feel like it's probably good for like Skylar to know the signs too. Like,
yeah, knowing the signs, like I think one of the biggest one is becoming withdrawn from most of the situations, right? Like when you kind of notice that your partner sort of just kind of goes into like autopilot mode with their day-to-day routine, and then things become less and less important, but the things that are not as important, obviously, as Gemma, start to fall by the wayside. Like even when it comes to things like I mentioned, like with the showers and like taking a bath, like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, you know, if it ever gets to the point, be like, hey, like, you know, like just go take a shower for like an hour, like just go sit in the shower and enjoy yourself. Right. Like those are things that you shouldn't have to be telling your partner to do. But if you notice that things like that, you know, start cropping up, tell them to do it. And then, you know, tell them that it's like, you know, if you're having problems or you need to talk to somebody about it, it's okay if it's not Skylar. It's okay if it's not your mom. It's okay.
Yeah,
if it's
I have a therapist too that I see regularly now, and I've never really, like, I've looked forward to being a mom my entire life. It's like been my life goal, and so I just feel like part of me is nervous, which I'm trying to stay ahead of it mentally. I'm trying to like, okay, if I stay one step ahead, like hopefully if it comes, I can nip it in the butt and, you know, be aware. At least be aware of it so I can go get the help that I need to get if it happens. But one thing I've been telling myself is like, you know, I've hyped up being a mother in my head for so long. Is she going to get here? And then it's like, okay, my purpose is over. Like, I've achieved it. I've achieved my goal. Now what's my goal? Like, just being a good mom for the rest of my life, or, you know, it's just like, so I feel like that can come, and I feel like, you know, part of me hopes and prays that, like, she'll get here and it'd be the best thing in my entire life. And some people don't experience postpartum depression at all. But I also don't want to, like, tell myself that that's going to be the case and then something happens. So I just try to prepare myself for, you know, you could have hyped this up in your head and it's going to be a lot harder than you think it is. So just be ready for that. And I feel like if I go into it kind of knowing that, and I've already told my therapist, like, you know, we've slowed down our sessions because I've been in a lot better headspace, like, in the last several months than I was this time last year. So we only meet now, like, once every other month or something like that. But I told her, I'm like, you know, when I have the baby, I want you to talk to me within the first, like, few weeks. And, like, if you start noticing changes, like, tell me to schedule them more often and, like, you know, whatever. Because she has kids of her own, too. Mm-hmm. So she's like, I can totally help you through that, whatever. So yeah. I already have, like, I feel like I have good resources set in place for if things happen. So
I think the great thing, too, is, you know, I'm not a mother, I'm not a parent, so I don't have, you know, any experience or anything like that. But just knowing how important it is to really have that village, like, if everybody always says it takes a village to raise a kid, whatever. And your village can be anybody that you choose. And so even though I live 2 hours away from Kaylee and Skylar, like, mm-hmm. Kaylee and I talk pretty much every day, or at least every other day if I, like, one of us is busy. So I would be able to keep a pulse on, like, if I haven't heard from her in a while, like, that's a problem.
Also, it's like, I, you know, I'm sure if, in a drop of a hat, if I was like, hey, I'm so overwhelmed, can you please come to town this Saturday and just, like, give me a day of, like, friendship or, like, company or something, you know, like,
totally.
You have to have people in your corner that can do those things for you. And if you don't, like, try to establish some sort of, like, a therapeutic relationship with somebody or something, or, like, even talk to your doctor. Like, I know doctors always have really good recommendations on, like, what to do in those types of situations if you don't necessarily have the support system that you need for whatever reason. So yeah.
So we're really fortunate to, even though we're a little bit far, for me to be able to just pop up here at any time. Kaylee and I have actually had, like, I don't want to say a super serious conversation, but a pretty, like, trying to establish kind of both of our expectations of how soon I'm going to come up here when the baby gets here. And, you know, as a friend standpoint, like, I don't want to be another thing they feel like they have to take care of. And luckily, you know, Kaylee and I have been friends since middle school. So she doesn't feel like she has to, like, super host me or babysit me or whatever. And so I can just be up here as quickly as possible, really more as a resource than, like, oh, I want to see the baby. Like, of course I want to see the baby, but I also want to help Kaylee and Skylar in any way that they can too, because that's going to be such a new experience for them. That's going to be such a new experience just, like, with all of us. I like to call myself the third member of their family, and, you know, maybe we're just besties-in-law, but I really want to be able to help them and support them in any way that is it, whether that's just a phone call with Kaylee or talking her down from whatever, or being up here and being able to, like, do some dishes or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people, I think, come over wanting to see the baby and be like, oh, let me take the baby off your hands so you can do blah, blah. Like, no, I just birthed a kid. I don't want to have to now get up and do a bunch of chores. Like, let me help you with that thing and you can reward me with letting me see your baby for a little bit.
And that was what I was speaking to about, like, you know, your mom comes over, like, mm-hmm. your parents come over, or Skylar's mom comes over or something. And just be like, I need to take a shower. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to, like Courtney mentioned, like, you don't want to do the dishes. You don't want to do whatever. You just want to go take a bath. Mm-hmm. You're totally entitled to do that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to get to the point where self-care is super important. Like, you know, like, yes, Gemma is, you know, obviously incapable of taking care of herself and for a very long time, but you still need to be able to take care of yourself too. Right?
Well, my mom always talked about too, when she was first had me, like, she lived in very close quarters with her sisters and her mom and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, with Skylar and I, you know, have moved to a new place in the last few years. Like, the only people we really have here on a constant basis are my parents. Like, his parents don't live here. We don't have friends that live 20 minutes down the road. We still haven't made very close friend connections since we moved up here. So it's hard when you're an adult, and it is going to be, I feel like, as much as we have a supportive village, Skylar and I are going to struggle a little bit with the fact that, like, you know, my mom mentioned that when she was first in postpartum, my dad first went back to work, like, her sisters would come over on their lunch break and feed her lunch and, like, give her a little hour break.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have that, especially because, you know, my sister doesn't live here. My friends don't live here. And, like, me and Skylar, Which, you know, y'all know Skylar has a new job now, but like me and my mom, my dad all work at the same place. So if I'm on leave, they can't just drop work and, you know, come be with me on my leave. Like they're going to have to take care of things at work while I'm not working. So
set up a little to-go baby carrier thing in the back
office. Oh, we are. Yeah. So Gemma's, the plan after I'm off of my leave is Gemma's going to be coming to work with me, as much as she can. So, we'll have a support system there, but those first few weeks I just feel like are going to be like really reliant on Skylar and I relying on each other. Like if my sister's coming to town, Courtney comes into town, whatever. Because really it's just me and Skylar and my parents up here. So, which I'm sure if any of my little acquaintance, coworker, friends, like if I asked them for something, I'm sure they would do it. But, it's just, you know, and I'm sure if you have people at work, like that, if you were like, hey, can you just like do this for us really quick, bring us something to eat, like I'm sure they would. But it's just, again, it's also like a pride thing, like asking for help is hard, especially when you want to be really good at something. So but yeah, do you have any like what are the best parts of that stage though, when you're going through the worst? What is the best?
So the first bits, like I mentioned, like the naps and stuff like that, they're the most satisfying factory.
That's
part.
His favorite part, isn't
is
it?
The nap. joking aside, I mean it's really figuring out your kid. As much as you want your kid to be a certain way or do a certain thing, they, like I said, even when they come out of the womb, they are their own little person, and they already have things that, you know, that they're gonna like. Like I mentioned, my daughter enjoyed like the chaos of falling asleep. My son needed complete darkness and absolute silence to fall asleep. But when it comes to like the great things, it was like, you know, just like when they figure out what laughing is and, you know, how fun it is to laugh. And then you figure out the easiest ways to make them laugh, like not overexerting yourself. Like my son, I could literally just take a baby wipe and just like kind of trace it along his forehead and he just loses mind, right? And so it's just things like that where you figure them out. That is the fun part, right? Is you're meeting a tiny little human that you just co-created with another human, but they may be nothing like either of you, and you need to find out what they like. And that's the fun part.
I feel like it's gotta be weird, like looking down at the baby and be like, you're my spawn. Like, you're a version of me. Like,
there'll be a few times, I promise you, where Gemma's gonna wake up in the middle of the night and you're just gonna be like, what is that noise? Oh yeah, I have a child now. And then you've gotta get up and
baby.
Go. Yeah, it'll really take a minute for your brain to like kick into the parent phase, right? Where you're just like, oh, I have to go take care of this now. But yeah, it's just things like that. It's literally just getting to know them and making sure that, you know, at least for the very formative months of when they're little, that, you know, you're keeping things calm, cool, and collected, and they totally build off of your vibe. That's why I think my son is so much different than my daughter, because my daughter, everything was very hard because the colic and everything like that, and it was just constant turmoil. But then by the time Theodore showed up, like, you know, not only was his attitude completely different, the mood and the vibe of the home was different. Because like, oh yeah, we've done this before. You know what I mean? Like things are easier a little bit now.
I've seen stuff online, like recently I've seen like videos and stuff where people are saying that like a lot of times the baby, like they look to you for reactions. Yes. So it's like if you're being overly reactive to something,
if you're like, oh no.
If you're, yeah, that's what I was about to say. If your kid falls and hurts himself, you just go, you good? Okay. And they're fine. Right?
Yeah.
If you, any overreaction you have, they will feed off of, because they assume that the reaction that you are having is how they should be reacting to things. Right? That's why, like, when, you know, finding things that, like, make them laugh, like giggling with them, they'll find their voice and then they'll figure it out. But the same thing goes with, like, if they hurt themselves, I'm like, I can't even begin to explain to you, like, the importance of little things like making sure their fingernails, even though they're really, really tiny, they're like little razor blades. Mm-hmm. So you need to make, no, I'm serious. You need to make sure that their nails are trimmed, because they're going to be grabbing at their face. They're going to be poking themselves. You know what I mean? So they're going to hurt themselves in ways that you don't expect, right? Or they're going to pretzel themselves and, you know, get their arm under their leg, and then they're going to start crying because they don't know how to fix that, right? So there's situations that you're going to end up where you're just going to be like, how or why? And then you got to remember, oh, you're dumb and you haven't figured out how these
you're
things
literally
work
helpless
yet. Yeah, you are completely helpless. Or they'll, like, you know, like my son's thing is he would put his hand behind his head like when he was like laying down, and then he couldn't get his his hand out from behind his head, and he'd like just freak out. And then you have to realize that you have to make it like a fun thing when you go and fix it, because you don't want him to be stressed out, like, you know, over something so stupid. But it's, yeah, there's little things that like you'll pick up on with your kids, and it's like, I don't know, it's really tough to try and find things that keep you sane when you know how the world works. And everything, the best advice I can give is everything to them when they hurt themselves, or when they do something that's new, or when they experience something, is quite literally the worst pain or the coolest thing they've ever experienced in their life, because it's the first time they've experienced something like that. So don't overreact when they hurt themselves. If, you know, they poke themselves and they, like, you know, they cry, or they, you know, grab their ear and twist their ear and hurt themselves, don't overreact to it. They're just gonna do it. You know?
See, I feel like I'm like most of the time pretty chill. Like, I don't overreact to pretty much anything, but yeah. I know, like, I'll say that, but I know they'll be like, you know, it'll be 2 a.m. and it'll wake up, well, she'll wake up, and I'll just be like, I normally am chill, but I'll be like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to be up. I want to be asleep. Like, why are you doing this? Yeah.
I think that's funny. Like, you know, Kaylee is a very expressive, like, emotional person. But I also know when it comes to, like, other people, she's like, okay, you chilling? Like, are you fine? Mm-hmm. So it'll be cool to see how, like, those, how the reactions to yourself versus the reaction to, like, your loved one are really different. And, and just kind of,
I also change. Feel like I'm very, like, rough around the edges, but, like, in my, like, core, I'm very sentimental and emotional, and I feel like I'll catch myself a lot of the times being, like, I feel like I'm just excited for, like, when I first start to see her personality come out, like, that's going to be really emotional for me, and, like, when she starts doing things, like, for the first time, like, I cry a lot, like, stuff like that, and I'll be, like, I'll always be, like, you're so cute, I'm crying all the time, like, because I just, it's going to be one of those things where I feel like I'm going to, like, really try to, I really want to try to cherish those things that happen for the first time, and, like, those things that you don't really want to miss out on. Like, those are just as important, too, as, like, really just taking those in, because then they're going to grow up, and then you're not going to have that anymore with them. Especially, like, when you get to, like, your second or third baby, and it's your last one, and you're, like, really trying to soak it in. Like, I saw this dad online a few weeks ago, and he was, like, you know, I was in the hospital with my wife, and I remember the first time we were here, like, having the baby, it was, like, so scary and, like, chaotic, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I was nervous, and then the last time I really tried to take in, like, I wasn't complaining about sleeping on the bed, like, this is the last time I got to do this, this is the last time I got to see my wife give birth and, like, hold a baby for the first time. So it's just, like, also learning to take in all of those little things and, like, really soaking them in while you can, and trying to create memories for yourself, because let's be real, like, your baby's not gonna remember any of this stuff, like, in the beginning of their life, all the memories are for you, like, because they're not going to remember anything before, like, age 5, so.
I think I'm excited to, not that anyone asked, but I'm excited to see Gemma's personality kind of develop. I volunteer with my local youth group, and so there are lots of kids that I've, you know, seen since they were, like, 11 or 12 or something like that, and grow into adults, like, full-on going to college and all of that. And just to see the ways that they change a little bit over a break or over the summer, they shoot up like 3 inches or all of that. Like, that's stuff that's really meaningful to me, because I'm creating that connection with them and I'm a part of their life and being able to, you know, see them change. So I can only imagine how fun it's going to be to see, you know, my best friend's baby, like, to grow up and to change and to become like them, or maybe totally different, and just, like, love them for who they become. And that's the most exciting thing.
We always make jokes of, like, how I'm like, oh, I hope she has Skylar's sense of humor, but, like, I hope she has my, like, almost ability to turn off empathy towards others.
Oh, my God.
Which sounds crazy, but, like, when it comes to, like, when I know, like, I need to take care of myself, like, I don't get hung up on other people's emotions. And, like, sometimes it's really good for me. Sometimes it's good for me to be able to just, like, be, like, confident in my own emotional space and, like, be good with myself, and I feel like I have a lot of, like, emotional awareness, so, like, I hope, like, she has that. Like, Skylar does not know how to express emotions at all. He keeps them all bottled up, and so, like, for me it's like I just hope she has the strength to do that, and, like, Skylar's humorous side, and there's certain things I just can't wait to see or not see come out in her. So
we've been joking recently, but it's really serious. Like, we're gonna have a baby bestie around, and we're gonna be able to just kind of bring her in the things that we do. I know that lifestyles change when you become a parent. I'm not silly. But I also know, like, there's a lot of stuff that Kaylee and I like to do. Just going out and getting a smoothie, or going out and, like, walking around somewhere, or just all the things that we usually do when I come up here, we'll still be able to do, and we'll get to have it. All these new fun experiences with someone else, with their child. And I'm really excited to just kind of, like, have her be another one of our friends.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
My other question for Parker is, you know, when we're going to have her, and then Kaylee's planning on taking, like, 6 weeks off of work. I'm only planning on taking, like, two, because we got to make money. And I guess so. I was wondering, like, how do you manage, like, the life work balance when that happens?
So work-life balance for me with my daughter was really chaotic, because I work in IT, so I was at a very busy point in my career. My partner, she had stopped working. She had just completely exited the workforce. That was a decision that was made when we decided we were going to have kids. So she was home full-time all the time with my daughter. And just speaking to you about, like, with you not really having any time off, like, just the 2 weeks or whatever, right? Is that for me, looking back, it was very difficult for me to, you know, leave at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning and come home at 5, and they're babies. They go to bed early, man. So, like, you miss everything. There's no nice way to say that. Like, you know, like, you'll come home and you'll have to deal with, like a nighttime feeding or, like, a nighttime diaper change, but you're going to miss all the fun stuff during the day. And so, like, to Kayla, like, take photos, take videos, you know, keep Skylar in the loop, like, with what's going on. Cause,
oh, you don't got to worry about that.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying, like, as a general rule of thumb, because, like, I felt very left out, honestly, when it came to my daughter, because I couldn't be around because of work. But then with my son, I was almost full-time working from home. Every day when my son was born. So I didn't feel like I missed anything. So I really tried really hard on the weekends when it was just my daughter, where I would take her and we would go on, like, I just called them adventures. We wouldn't do anything, like, you know, because in Toronto we have, like, the subway and stuff. So I just, like, jump on the bus, we'd go on the subway, go literally nowhere. And, you know, she was only, like, you know, like, one, like, I think I started that when she was probably, like, 8 months, I think, where Saturdays were, like, dad's day. And I would just take her and we would just go. I didn't use the stroller. I used the chest carrier where I could flip her outwards or inwards or whatever, right? But yeah, the best thing that I can say is that no matter how much you want to relax, because you're going to miss out on everything, is to really make the time to just even have, like, you know, so Kaylee can have some time off sometimes and you can just go do things. Even things as simple as just going for a walk, man, like with your daughter, like. There's so many photos where, like Kaylee mentioned, like, the kids don't remember anything, but I do. Like, I have photos where my daughter is, like, passed out standing up on the subway because, like, you know, we were gone all day and she's completely partied out, right? And things like that were really fun. And then I kept it going with my son, where, you know, I would take him on Saturday and then my wife would have my daughter on Saturdays, right? So it's hard when you can't make the time at the beginning. You know, when everything is happening, you're really not going to miss a lot in the first few months, because not a lot really happens aside from them just, you know, exponentially growing. But, you know, once they start to get, like, you know, like 6 months and onward, and things are happening where they, you know, they're more vocal in a way that, you know, they're trying to actually communicate with you and things like that. Just try and, you know, try and be there for stuff like that as much as you can. And I know it's hard because there's, like, you know, like you said, like, work. You guys still have your lives and things like that, but you really need to take time to just, you know, you and Gemma time.
And I think my other, like, thing going with that is, like, I guess, like, my thing I'm worried about is, I'm like, right now I'm working two jobs. Yeah. So, like, some days I work, like, a full day and then I still have to go to my other job and work, like, till 9 o'clock, 8:30 at night.
Yeah.
And it's like, my worry is that, like, you know, after a day like that, I'm going to get home and I'm not going to want to deal with anything with the kid. Like, I'm tired. I just worked all day. Yes. I don't want to, you know, go clean up stuff from a kid or, like, you know, I just want to sit down and, like, relax. Yeah. And I don't know if part of that kind of goes away once you have the kid, because you know, because people say you look forward, like, you want to see your kid, or, like.
Yeah, and things become more routine, too, like, when it comes to, like, the cleaning and stuff like that, right? Like, you kind of get into, like, a groove where you know, primarily because of the times that you work, that Kaylee's doing bedtime, right? Then it kind of becomes like habitual for you that, you know, like you said, like you don't want to come home and clean, but you do. And then it just becomes like almost like an everyday thing, and it just becomes part of your routine. And then there's like, you know, the only thing I can say about that is try not to like get agitated about it or have like animosity towards the fact that, you know, you just worked all day and you came home and now you've got to clean up, because like Kaylee will have been home all day with Gemma, or she had to work all day and then she had Gemma and she still had to do dinner and, you know, do everything else. And, you know, it's not diminishing, you know, her or diminishing you, but it's like, it's got to get done at some point, right? So it's like, you know, we're unfortunately all adults, just suck it up and do it. But the thing that I can't stress the most is don't try and belittle your partner either way for both of you if, like we said, that the day was just too much and you can't do something. Right?
I feel like one of Skylar's worries he's expressed to me before, which, like, you know, right now it's like he likes to have his me time. Like, yep. And he's worried that he
yeah.
Well, he's worried that will be like a really hard thing,
yeah,
to like
is.
And I'm sure it is, but like what he was talking about a minute ago is like, I feel like other people who we've known have had kids have been like, but it's worth it. Like, it makes your life so much better. And I feel like he's trying to like learn, like, you know, obviously, you know, we've talked about before, even like, you know, if there's a day where he wants 2 hours to go on his computer and play his video games or do whatever, like, I'm more than happy to do that and vice versa. But I also feel like, you know, he's been told from some people that have had kids, like, you know, you do want to spend your free time with your kids, mm-hmm, at a certain point, like that, like that stuff that was in your young adulthood, like, doesn't become less fun or less important, but like you do have a different perspective on like, yeah, maybe I want to play games tomorrow night, but like tonight I really want to spend time with my kid and like have a family night, watch a movie, like do stuff like that. And I feel like he's looking for a little bit of like opinions on like if that actually is true. Like,
I mean,
is that, does what, that actually happen?
Yeah. So for the first few months, you're never going to touch a console. You're never going to touch your PC. And it's not because you won't have time. You won't really want to in the same vein, right? Like, this goes back to what I was saying, that when Gemma sleeps, you sleep. I cannot stress this enough. For the first few months, when that child, like, if he's at work and you're home, mm-hmm, Gemma goes to sleep, you go to sleep, mm-hmm, the dishes can wait, there's spoilers, they will still be there at 5 or 6 o'clock, you know what I mean, take a nap. Mm-hmm. Personal time is very tough. The first few months are very hard. You won't have any. I can safely tell you that, unless you end up with, you know, a Theodore level child of sleeping, then you won't have any. But this is where you need to almost develop a new routine around, you know, instead of having like the 2 hours, like you had mentioned, you might only get like 30, 40 minutes. You know what I mean? You could literally sit down, turn your computer on, Kaylee's like, you know, like asleep or whatever, and Gemma wakes up. But it's just going to happen. Like, you know what I mean? So you kind of have to play with that a bit and understand that it does get better. And that goes back to the animosity thing that I was talking about, right? Like, things are going to stop for a little while, like have to stop for a little while until you can find the routine of, okay, this is when she naps, this is when she sleeps, this is when we can, you know, when we can feed her, and, you know, this is time that can be like me time. And there are instances where you do have to bust yourself a little bit to make sure that the house is clean so that you can get that time, because, you know, going back to like when you have free time, you won't want to clean, right? So just kind of like clean as you go, or like when you get home, do it. And then when Gemma's finally down for the night and Kaylee's down for the night, that is really the ideal time where, if you want to have some time to yourself,
like what Peter does with Mackenzie,
yeah, like
that. Like, you know, we met our friend online that had a baby a couple of years ago. We don't see him as much online, not to call out Saint, we don't see him as much online, but when he does get to play with us, like, it's
he talks about a good experience.
He's just like, yeah. It's, but it's also the same with him, like, he didn't change, like, mm-hmm, in terms of his personality, he still enjoys those things. But also, he likes to share, like, oh, yeah, I really am enjoying, you know, hanging out with my kid and this and that. Like, mm-hmm, I think, too, it's, like, managing your expectations of what you think that alone time is going to look like. Like Parker said, you know, if you think you're going to get 2 hours and you only have 30 minutes, like, it's going to seem like a bummer. But if you take any alone time or any you time as, like, oh, thank God I get some alone time, like, mm-hmm, that 30 minutes is going to feel really great.
I've also gotten advice from like another couple, like, you know, once you get past those first couple months, like, and your baby is sleeping better at night, like, after 7 o'clock, that's like your time. Like, your baby's down, you play your games, you watch a movie together, you cook, mm-hmm, dinner with each other, like, you do your couple time, and I think once you get past those first like really hard couple months, like it's really gonna get better.
Yeah, like, and that's exactly it. Like that's why I was saying, like once you find out like when Gemma sleeps, when she wakes up at night and she wants to be fed, you can really work your schedule around that, right? Because kids, especially infants, are like very much so creatures of habit, right? Like as weird as it is to say, like they have this clock in their head and they know that, okay, mom feeds me at midnight. It's 12:01. I don't know why my brain just woke me up, but mom, get up. So you need to really try and manage your time around things like that. And there's no harm in going to bed at 8:00 at night. Like, you know what I mean? Just calling it an early night. There's going to be times where you finally get your free time and it's been like 2 days since you've been able to do anything. Gemma's asleep. The house is clean. Everything's taken care of. And you're like, nope. I just want to sit here and do nothing.
Sit inside.
I don't want to move my hands. I don't want to turn the television on. I just want to sit here, and if I fall asleep, it's going to happen.
Well, something I tell Skylar, too, is, like, you know, he obviously likes playing video games, like playing video games, too, whatever, but, like, something I tell him you can look forward to, which, like, I know you've experienced, is, like, once your kids get older and you get to do those things with them, like, it's that's really fun, too.
Yeah,
like, just
super fun.
They get to the point where they're not as fun, if, like, unself-sufficient. Like, they can kind of do things on their own, like, they're older, and, like, you can start to incorporate them and like show them things that you like and do things with them that you like, and it becomes a really different, it'll like cool experience like doing that.
I can't wait to play modern Minecraft with Gemma.
I will say like one thing I've noticed lately is like, because when Kaylee found out she was pregnant and we've been going through this, like I was like, okay, I'm gonna enjoy my free time as much as possible now. Like I'm really gonna like get like, you know, when I have time to do what I want, I'm gonna do it. But, like, the weird thing, and, like, it hasn't been something I'm doing on purpose, but I just feel like the further along we've gotten into it, like, there are some nights, like, Kaylee, like, will go to bed and, like, you know, I'll stay up and I'm going to play a game or something. But then I end up, like, sitting there. Then I end up, like, I don't really want to.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just sitting there and I'll, like, scroll on my phone or, like, I'll watch, have TV on in the background.
Yep.
And then I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to go to bed. And I don't know if it's, like, some type of mental switch that like is going on to where I'm like, it's almost like that stuff isn't seeming as like dire as I once thought it was. Like I was like, oh, I have to like play a game and enjoy my, but like now I'm like, you know, I don't really feel like I need to do this right now. Like
and,
I'm fine.
And that's what I mentioned, right? Like there's gonna be times where you're gonna be like, oh, I finally have my free time, and you're not gonna want to play the game, or you're gonna turn the game on and it's gonna have an update and you're gonna be like, you know what, I don't have time for this right now.
I think when you think about it too, like, you know, I think for at least me and probably you, like, it feels like Kaylee's pregnancy has been pretty fast. Like, these past several months have gone by really quickly. So if you think about it in terms of that, like, by this time next year, Gemma
she'll
will
be 10 months old.
Yeah, right. She'll be, like, I mean, as self-sufficient as a baby's going to be. She's about to be, like...
10 months is pretty self-sufficient.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to feed
like
her and change her and stuff like that, but she's going
to
have that
routine. She'll go to bed. She'll sleep
at
night more than likely.
So we
like,
really will be able to pack up and go to Martoberfest, and, like, maybe we won't be able to stay for three and a half hours like we did last time, but we probably didn't need to stay for three and a half hours last night anyway.
Yeah. Really, what, like, and maybe you could, well, you've been through it, is, like, I feel like almost what I've heard is, like, yes, like, the newborn stage is difficult, but then it gets easier, like what you were saying.
Yeah.
But then I'm honestly more afraid of, like, the toddler age, because that seems like when you really gotta, like...
Toddler is just controlled chaos.
You
gotta
entertain them all
like,
the time.
Yeah, it's, they look to you for everything still, but they're able to either vocalize it or physically come over and get your attention, you know what I mean? Or you're just trying to like veg out for a little bit while they're like sitting and playing on the floor, and then you blink and then you open your eyes and they're gone and you don't know where they are, and that gets a little scary, right? But
I've always heard if you don't hear anything, it's bad.
Oh,
they're
it's
getting
like,
into something,
they're into
or they're
something
doing something,
yeah, or
they
like
have marker all over their face.
Yeah, oh dude, like there was Charlotte had a fully white dresser like that I had sanded down and repainted. Yeah, had sanded down and repainted. And then I knew she was in her room and she was playing, and I was just kind of like sitting at the dining room table, which was like right outside the room. And then all you hear is that marker squeak, and you're like, you shouldn't have that.
Yeah.
And then you go in and she's like on the other, she knew, like she's on
she
the other
hiding,
side
yeah.
of the dresser, like, you know, kind of peeking out, like, you know, just, is he checking yet? And then you go over and it's just like color, and you're like, you know what? I don't care anymore. Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's easier, but it's not, right? They can get into more things, you know what I mean? Theodore's thing is he would run with toys in his hands and, like, fall and smash them into his forehead, and then, you know, the world has ended. Or like, you know, like with you guys with the hardwood floor, things you need to be mindful of. Grippy socks. You need grippy socks for when they're walking because mm-hmm. they have no speed control or traction with regular socks on hardwood floor, right? So, you know, it's just things like that that like you don't think of until these things start happening.
But
right?
by the time Gemma's two, like, you'll already be in the swing of parenting. Yeah. It'll just be taking the new
It'll things. Be BAU at yeah. that point. At like 2 to 3 years old, like once Charlotte hit that, like my daughter, she was talking at a very early age. She was talking at, it was probably like 14, 15 months. And she was like able to conversate small conversations with you. But then by the time she was 18 months, she was having a full conversation with you. And she could vocalize what she wanted, that she was hungry or that she was tired or that she wanted to go outside or what she wanted to do. But it's very much so, you know, you'll know what they want at that point and when they're going to want it, right? So you need to like kind of just be on top of it. Keep routine as paramount. Keep naps in the routine as long as you can because tired kids are angry kids. It doesn't matter. Hungry kids are angry kids, right? Keep a freaking snack in your pocket.
I've also heard, like, and this is kind of, I guess, more from, like, the gentle parenting perspective, which I do see a lot of, like, good in, but also, like, some people have said that a lot of the times if your kid is misbehaving or they're, like, cranky or they're throwing a tantrum for no reason, more than likely a need is not being met. They're either hungry, they're tired, they're cold, they're hot, and they can't communicate that. They can't communicate it. Like, if your kid's just throwing a tantrum and, like, hitting the wall for no reason, like, more than likely they're trying to, they need something and they just don't know what it is. Whether they need emotional regulation or just, like, some sort of, like I said, a drink or their clothes are uncomfortable or something. Like, a lot of the times you have to try to control your mindset of, like, okay, my kid's being a pain in the ass versus like, okay, they probably need something. Like, you know,
I feel like, I know this is so silly, but I feel like it's going to have genuine similarities of like taking care of a sim. Like, you know, the sims do autonomous stuff and whatever, but like, especially when you're taking care of your dumb toddler sim that's just like screaming. Yeah, you have the little pop-up that says like, they're really hungry. They're going to be taken away. But like in the game, they're acting up and they're screaming and they're pouty and they're whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll learn those cues where it's like your mental pop up and not so much like having to be told.
I know, like, I mean, this is like a little bit older than like toddler age, but like for me, I got to the point like once I was in like early elementary school and stuff, like unless it was a school, like obviously school day was different, but like weekends, my parents didn't even like, they didn't wake me up on the weekends. Like I was like a very self-sufficient child because like my mom worked all the time. My dad worked a lot. And like, I would just wake up on like a weekend morning when I woke up and no one was there to wake me up. My mom was at work. My dad would be mowing the lawn or something. Like, and I'd go to the kitchen and I'd get myself cereal or whatever. And we had like a sunroom that was like my kind of like playroom. And I'd go in there and watch TV or play with my toy. Like, I literally would just like fully be for like half the day. Yeah. Would just do my own thing.
There was a period in my life where after school, like my mom, we would get off the bus and me and my sister would be in my room for hours just playing. And that's why I also feel like, you know, you were an only child. I don't know if I want Gemma to be an only child, but like, you know, I would go home and my sister and I would play in our room for hours. My mom would be like, okay, it's dinner time now. Come out of your room, like, and eat. Mm-hmm. Like, so there was a lot of time, like, after school, like, and I was maybe, like, you know, 5, 6 years old, and we would just be in there for hours. And, like, my parents would even see me. Like, I'd be doing my own thing all night, or I'd be outside with my friends or in the backyard, like, doing whatever. And, like, they would just peek in to be like, hey, like, you know, come eat, or hey, it's time to go to bed. And like, who knows, my parents are there probably like having a good time watching their show, doing whatever. And I'm just like doing my own thing.
I know, like my only thing when I was like that age was I didn't want to be left alone. But like, we lived in the country, and so like there was always like a ton of yard work that my dad was doing. So like, I would wake up and I would like look out the windows of the house, and then when I'd see like, oh, hey, my dad's like way down there at the barn, like feeding the horses. And then once I knew, like, oh, yeah, he's out there doing that, then I was just, like, fine. Like, I was like, okay, I know my dad is here somewhere, and then I just go do my own thing.
Well, that's the only child thing, too. I have a younger brother. We're about four and a half years apart. And so we weren't, like, we were always together, especially, you know, when I got old enough to watch him after school. Like, I would be able to stay home alone, and then my brother got old enough to where we would just be together for a while. Or, like, when my parents went out for a couple hours, like, for a work thing or to see their friends or whatever. And the kids just become self-sufficient, I think, quicker than you think they will. Mm-hmm. I know just from being friends with Parker, like, if the kids wake up early before Parker does, like, his daughter will just make a waffle for her and her brother. Like, they'll just kind of take care of themselves until he is, like, fully awake. Okay. And, yeah, it's not like, you know, if they really needed something, they know they can go get him. But in terms of, like, just taking care of business, like, the regular stuff, they can do it.
Yeah, they get up at, like, 7 or 8. Like, I have them on the weekends, and they'll get up at, like, 7 or 8. And like she said, like Charlotte will make breakfast, or they'll just have like a quick snack before I get up and make them breakfast. And my daughter will literally like just sit and like just chat with her friends like on her phone. My son will like, you know, he'll either like do his clay or he'll do his Lego, or he'll like get bored and like turn on like a video game for like a little bit. And, you know, and then they do get to the point where they're like, hey, like we're really hungry. And it's like,
okay, wake up now. Yeah. Okay,
they'll like come in, they'll be like, get up, old man. And I'm like, all right. But they're really good about it. And same thing with during the day. Like, they have very, very busy weekdays with, like, school and their extra curricular activities. So, like, what you were talking about, like, you know, on weekends, I just let them get up when they want. I don't force them to wake up unless, like, my son has soccer or something like that. I do not wake him up. Like, I let them get up on their own time. You know, like bedtime, like, you know, depending on what their week was like, would be, like, you know, like 8:30 or 9 or something like that. And they're really good about things like that. But then, you know, I understand that they're to the point now where they're of the age where it's like, okay, like, what do you guys want to do this weekend? And they're just like, I just want to sit. And I totally respect that. You know what I mean? Like,
they're busy these days.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, they've got all their stuff going on. It's like, you know, like, we have a dog as well, too, Gigi. So, like, you know, we'll go take Gigi for, like, a walk to, like, I live right across from, like, a huge park. We'll take her into the park. We'll let her run around for a bit. And then, you know, sometimes my daughter will be like, hey, like, I want to go to the mall. And, like, we'll go to the mall or something like that. Or, like, I need to go get groceries, so they'll come with me to go get groceries. But, like, I make it, like, fun. Like, we'll go swing into, like, the dollar store and be like, I think we have $10, go. And then they just go do whatever they want, right? But it's they're of the age now where things are much easier, and you really see, like, the fruits of your labor come through, right? Like, you know, if my kids wouldn't have been taught, you know, like, the proper way to, like, behave and act and routine themselves, it would be very different, right? Like, the last thing I want to do is, like wake up and, like, you know, their room is on fire because, like, they were sticking forks in the outlets or something stupid. You know what I mean? Like, just, you know, it's, you know, you never know how your kid is going to turn out until they do. And then it's just literally just watching them grow up and, like, little people. Like, my daughter is 11 now. She's, like, shaving her legs. She's got a boyfriend. She's going through puberty.
I don't know if
Jim has
been having a boyfriend at 11 years old.
I was like, what is his name? So it's fine. Yeah, I was like, And it's just, but it's one of those things where it's like, I set myself up for failure with that. My daughter just approached me one day on a whim and was like, hey, when did you have your first girl? Like, how old were you when you had your first girlfriend? I'm like, oh, I'm like, I think I was in like grade 5, and she was in grade 5. And I was like,
obviously. She's like,
got it. Skylar's going to be like, when I was in college.
Yeah. I was 32.
Your mom was my first girlfriend, and we just got married.
No, a couple of weeks after we met. But yeah, but it's tough, like, watching them grow up. Like, you know, like, my son's name is Theodore, and, like, you know, my nickname for him is, like, Mr. T, but he wants everybody to call him Theo. But,
that's,
you know, like,
card.
Yeah.
He made me a birthday card.
Yeah. And so it's nice. Like, when that came up, that's actually a really funny story, talking about things we look forward to. Like, with your kids, like, when they knew that I was coming down, I had mentioned that I was doing the Marktoberfest, and it was one of my friend's birthdays, because Heather's birthday is on the 18th. And Theodore got very excited and asked if it was Courtney's birthday, because he's like, I want to make her something for her birthday. And he's like, when is her birthday? I'm like, November 22nd. And then he's just like,
oh, are you adding her birthday?
Yeah, sorry. He's like, oh my God, that's like a month after you leave. Is it too early to give her a gift?
Hey, listeners, like, I expect a tweet for my birthday. Yeah. Thank you so much.
But, like, and then he did that on his own. Like, he went and he made, like, you know, he told me that he wanted to make her, like, a painting. And then he, like, made her a card and stuff like that. So it's really nice to just see your kids take initiative on things like that on their own. Like,
also, kids are funny after a certain point.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Theodore, the age that Theodore is growing up in is really funny. Because it's like the YouTuber mentality with everything.
The Mr. Beast.
Did you watch Ryan? Is that what his name is?
Ryan's World or whatever. Yeah, the little, uh-huh. They didn't watch any of that. So, cause we didn't let them do that like when they were younger. But then as they got older, obviously their friends were doing it. Ms. They can't.
Rachel.
Yeah, like they can't be left out of the loop when it comes to things like that. But Theodore really enjoys watching people play video games online, right? So Theodore just automatically assumed that when you're playing a video game, you're narrating the experience of everything that you're doing to whoever the hell is in the room with you. regardless if you're streaming or not.
Yes. He acts like a streamer and he's by himself.
He's literally down the hall and I know that he's fine because, you know, like you're always worried about like what your kids are doing online or whatever. And like my daughter, I've caught her with some stuff that like I don't like. And, you know, like my ex-wife and I, like when we have the conversation about like the kids being safe online, like you never have to worry about Theodore because I know exactly what he's doing because I can hear
it out loud
at all times. He's literally narrating his Minecraft experience. And then after he's done doing it, he like kind of recaps it for me in a not so condensed format. But it's really nice watching them become their own people. But like once they hit like that age, then you're good.
See, I don't know what, I'm not sure what thing my parents did with me to get me this way, but it was like, I guess they must at least had full trust in me because I just never really got into stuff. Like I wasn't like the kid that like drew on the walls or messed with stuff. Like I was very cautious as a kid. Like I was like when my friends were doing stupid stuff,
your
I was the one.
Just teach you to respect your belongings.
Yeah, I was
you to like take care of your things. And my mom always made sure I was like taking care of my own stuff.
I think
like,
that's a really good segue too. I was talking about it earlier. Like I'm not a parent, but I think the most important thing to remember is that like disciplined children are loved children. Like you discipline your child because you love them and you want them to be able to like be self-sufficient and be able to, you know, do things on their own and assimilate into the world. Like it sometimes feels hard to discipline your child. And I know you're not going to discipline your newborn. Like we're talking about this a little early, but there's nothing wrong with disciplining your child because it shows that you care how they turn out and how they're able to, you know, make friends. You know, if your kid is like mean all the time and you don't do anything to correct that, they're not going to be able to make friends. You're not going to be able to, you know, like act well in class. You're not going to do well in school. Like being able to show them that you love them, even if it's in a correctional way, is a really, it's actually a positive thing. You know, you can always tell, and it's really sad. Like, you can tell sometimes when, like, a parent's not very present because the kid just, like, runs wild.
And doesn't care about anything.
Yeah.
Or anyone, doesn't have,
because they know
like,
there's no repercussions.
People, like,
I mean, I got to, like, the point. So, like, my mom was, like, starting a business and running her own business pretty much most of my, like, childhood. And, like, I had to go after school and, like, sit at her business every day. And it got, and so, like, eventually it was, like, I had to be, like, okay, like, if I don't want to do this, I got to be able to stay at home by myself.
Right.
And I started staying home by myself. And I really can't think of a single time. I mean, I'd be by myself, like, on weekends or something, like, all day or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of a single time, really, where I did anything that my mom had to, like, would have been worried about me being home alone or, like, I did something stupid one day. Like, I really didn't. Like, I just stayed home. She would like, she'd have food in the fridge for me. Mm-hmm. I'd play video games. I'd work on homework or whatever. And like, that was it. Like, I think there was one time I had a friend come over and we lit a bottle rocket off a balcony, but nothing happened. So,
yeah.
What Kaylee was saying earlier, like older kids, younger kids, they're all kind of the same. They're acting up if a need is not being met. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a social need. Sometimes it's like an attention need. But like, you know, when you're at home and you're able to do things in your own free time and all of that, for the most part, you don't want to cause trouble on purpose if you're a happy, like, well-adjusted child.
Kids act out for attention, too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. My daughter was like especially, not in a bad way, but like after my son was born, she was excited, but obviously would feel a little bit left out because, you know, all of a sudden her mom's time
was
being taken up.
All the time.
Yeah, right. Was being taken up by him. So it was tough, but you know, she adjusted quite well, quite quick. She loves being a big, not so much now because she's like the broody tween or whatever you call them now.
Preteen.
But she very much so enjoyed being the bigger sister, right?
I was that way too. There's like these cringy home videos of us at Christmas. My mom's still, at the age of 27, records on Christmas when we open our presents.
Yeah.
But when I was little, I think Andrew was probably like 2 or 3, and there's this video of my mom like trying to see Andrew opening up some of his gifts. Like he's getting really excited. He's at the age where he can react. But I'm like, Mom, look what Santa got me. Like as if she didn't buy it. Because I wanted
spoilers
attention. Like,
for all the young children.
Cool that Andrew got Spider-Man skates. But Mom, look at this. Like I wanted some attention back on
Did
me.
Did you really get Spider-Man skates?
Yeah, they were
kind of
sick.
Pretty amazing.
They were the kind that like go over your shoe. Sorry.
I actually just bought a camcorder, like more of like an old vintage one on Amazon the other day because I saw this girl on TikTok and she was like recording herself like talking to her daughter like while she's packing her hospital bag and being like, oh, we're gonna meet you in a few weeks, blah blah blah. I'm like, I don't have anything like that. Like, as far as I know, I don't think my parents did any sort of like home video, no. like anything. And I would love to just like be able to see a video of my mom when she was pregnant with me, like talking to me or putting together my nursery or like my mom and dad together before they had me or whatever. And I told Skylar, I was like, I bought it because she was doing like little video diaries, and like now the specific one I bought, it has like an adapter. We literally plug it in to your phone and it just puts the videos on your phone, but it looks all, you know, old school camera, but it's like you can so easily have those and share those like on your phone, and like when they get older, like have it on the cloud or whatever, and they can go through and like look at all that stuff.
Like, obviously I have like full albums of my mm-hmm. kids and everything, like, you know, from literally day one to yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. Like of photos and things like that with them. And I think that's super important too, to be able to, not just for you, but for them as well. Like mm-hmm. Courtney and I talked about this just a little bit ago. Like, I don't really have any, you know, I'm 40. There were no digital cameras when I was little, like, you know what I mean? So like all these memories of me when I was a kid are just gone. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they don't exist in a video form. They don't exist in a photo form. I'm sure that, you know, my parents vaguely recollect some things, like, you know, but like basically after my first day of kindergarten, that's when my baby book stops, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden my next photo, I'm like 19. You know what I mean?
I think that's what's so exciting about, like, y'all becoming parents in this kind of day and age is that, you know, with TikTok blowing up and things like that, like, it's more common for people mm-hmm. to, like, whip out a camera or whip out your phone and, like, just record your day-to-day. Like, it doesn't have to be something exciting. It's just something cool for you to remember.
I think it'd be so cool to watch, like, a day in the life of my mom when she's pregnant. Like, just,
that's
like,
what I'm totally. Saying.
Or, like, with me as a newborn. Like, I'm up with you at 4 in the morning because you're crying.
Yeah, I have stuff like that with Charlotte, uh-huh. right?
We've only ever known our parents as parents, but my parents, you know, had a whole 5 years together without me.
I saw this girl doing a trend on TikTok, and she was like, "Hey kids, it's your mom. I'm 19. I'm about to go to the bar." Like, and I think it's so funny. Obviously, I didn't do that. I didn't do that, but I bought that camcorder because I was like, I want to start at least the last month of like Skylar and I's life before she's here, and like have that, and then like have her newborn life where she can look at it and all that stuff. Like, I think it's super cool. Mm-hmm. So awesome.
Yeah, that's a great way to do that.
How long are we at? Pretty long.
It's like an hour and 30 minutes. So. All
right,
So we should probably start wrapping it up.
But that was how do you feel now talking to an experienced dad?
I feel the same.
The same? You don't feel any better?
Remain terrified. I did not mean to make this easier for you because it's not going to be
Well, I think though, like having an experienced dad right here at your fingertips, like you have people who have been through things. You don't have to make every decision alone. The village is not just for Kaylee. Like, the village is for you too, whether you're feeling like emotionally overwhelmed or just like want some advice on something. I always tell you to call me. Like, we're besties in law. You just call me, and if you have something you want to talk about, like, let's talk about it.
I mean, I'm not worried about that. I mean, I'm not really worried about not having resources. So
I think like we've talked about, I think as she gets older and like all that, like we'll get more of like us back and our life back and our routine back, and we'll do things. And like I've said before, like the thing I keep telling myself is like, the way I look at it is like, our life is obviously going to change a little bit, but like at the end of the day, we're incorporating her into like what our life already is. Like, she's going to be becoming part of like what we are and like what we do and like things we enjoy. So I think once we get through that hard like newborn trench, then it'll be a really fun experience just to like do everything.
Well, that's the thing right now, is it's like, I can't adjust anything because nothing's changed. Right. So once she gets here and then we have it'll to like make the adjustments, it'll be a lot. Yeah. But like, I'm sure after we get adjusted,
because we went to visit like Mackenzie and Peter when, you know, Miles is now like 2 months old, like their life looked more back to normal. Like obviously their day-to-day life is different, but it's the same.
I think it'll be easier to make those adjustments when you have to. Like, you'll have something in front of you that's like, oh, of course I can't do this right now. Mm-hmm. I have, like, the fruits of my labor to
like, I can't, like, right now get home and then take care of a pretend baby. Exactly. And then, like,
like, you can't start going to bed at 9 o'clock because you know you're not doing it for any reason. Yeah. Like, I totally get that. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, well, we will see everyone next week.
AKA, they will hear us.
Yeah, everyone will hear us next week. We hope you enjoyed this extra long bonus episode with the guests. Next week will be on what, week 33?
32.
Well, so
Only 8 weeks left. That's crazy. Remember yeah. when we did our 8 week episode? Like, mm-hmm. that's wild.
We're going to be going into our final approach to baby airport.
yeah, literally. I'm like, okay, it's a lot.
But we hope everyone has a good week and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for having me back.
All right. See you, everybody.
Bye.